If you are thinking that your window is still open for 3 years, how does that work unless you acquire younger starting pitching?
It doesn't.
Nothing from the senator from,
it doesn't.
From Roscoe Village.
You've asked an unanswerable question.
It doesn't.
If you're just going to keep running this back with these guys who are going to be in some form of decline, you're making that call. This is the pitching that you told everybody when it was time you'd go get pitching that was ready, and then you're just going to run it until this era's over.
And if they don't win tonight, that'll be two back-to-back losing months.
That's right.
For them.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. So, lots to discuss. Gentlemen, thank you as always.
We got
enjoy
go to
the concert.
Yeah.
Yep. So, if you hear music in the background of my show today, some of it is Tony, and some of it is there's an actual concert across the hall. So, when people open the door to the culinary studio, you're going to hear some of that stuff bleed in. Just know that that's a thing. We are sports. That was from Tony. We are Sports Radio 670 The Score, WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, a radio.com sports station. The top of the hour is being brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Your Western Conference champion Chicago Wolves will open the season on Saturday, October 5th. For group and season tickets, visit ChicagoWolves.com. And the top of the hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. My man! Visit their new website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. Tony, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to two on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on The Lawrence Holmes Show.
Let's go out to Lockport and talk with Joan. Hey, Joan, you're on The Score.
Hello. This isn't a sit and watch day for me. This is a sit and have a panic attack day. Yeah.
Well, Joan,
and tomorrow's my birthday, and I'm going to be watching, you know, we're going out to eat, but we have to go somewhere where the Cubs are going to be on the TV because I won't be able to stand it.
What's on the menu? Like, what do you want to have?
I'm not really interested in the food. I'm interested in a broom to sweep the Cardinals.
I want the Cubs to win now just so that Joan has a happy birthday. Because can you imagine if they lose tonight and tomorrow? Joan is not going to be happy.
Make me a bicycle, clown!
Well, I'm guessing that Joan was not very happy with what happened in last night's game, nor should she be. Oh, there was some good stuff. It's so weird, like that game last night, because you got another good Darvish start, but even inside the Darvish start, he did Darvish stuff, and your team can't hit. And I was talking about how good Chris Bryant was, and then Chris Bryant has a one-pitch at bat in a run-scoring situation. It's not good right now, and the Cubs have an opportunity tonight to get things right. But if they lose tonight, with a game you can hear here on The Score, they will have back-to-back losing months. Glad that you are along for the ride. We are going to talk a lot about the Cubs. By the way, I hope you got that breaking news read ready again, because Tony Kemp is what the Cubs will get in return for Martin Maldonado. Kemp was DFA'd at one point. I know that he's someone that there were a lot of folks that were thinking there might be something there. That there might be something there in what he is. So to give you the background on Kemp, he has played in 239 games. He's had 656 plate appearances, 575 at-bats. His slash line for his career is 240. 322, 376 to make him a 697 player. In 97 games in 2018, he was a 743 OPS player, hit 263. And this past year, before he got DFA'd, he was 227, 308, 417. So, okay, the Cubs picked him up. There you go. We will talk about that more in depth. We will talk about this trade, and I don't know if it means anything. And the trade deadline, it's a lot of moving parts today. So our guys are going to try and stay on top of it And if there is something significant that happens, like more significant than the Tony Kemp, Martin Maldonado, but maybe there's something that they like that they think they can get out of Kemp that the Astros could not get. And maybe you get something for that. And that report is courtesy of the Houston Chronicle. But we start the show, as we start all things, with a rundown.
Run them down.
The Rundown.
There's a lot in the rundown today. I had Tony add some stuff because I feel like we should keep track of what's going on with the Brewers as well, along with, obviously, the Cubs and the Cardinals are playing each other. So let's start Bears. Yesterday on the show, our guy broke this down for us. Chris Emma was talking about the 10-10-10 practice. Here's what Matt Nagy said they're doing with these 10-10-10 practices.
So 10-10-10, what that is basically it's 10 plays of offense for the offense. It's basically carded. The defense gives us a look. And then it's 10 plays for the defense. The offense gives them a look. And then it's 10 minutes of special teams. And then we repeat that three times. So that's how. So it's more of a controlled, hey, we want this look rather than competing against each other. And we'll sprinkle those in. Plus they get an extra hour of sleep, 9:05 time.
Yeah, the practice was a little bit later than it usually is. 8:15 is usually when they are doing the practices. So they had that spirited 10-10-10 practice yesterday. James Daniel has obviously been moving to center with Cody Whitehair going over to guard. So far, Matt Nagy really likes what he's seen.
It seemed like a really natural transition for him, which is as expected for him. The guys are really just making good communication between the guards and the centers, and I'm looking forward to him to seeing how he does. I'm not really concerned. I think it's gonna be good.
So that's what's going on with the Bears. I will be in Bourbonnais tomorrow. I'm gonna watch practice. We'll see if we get someone to join us on the show and all that good stuff. Now to the baseball. Over on the south side last night, man, everything is going all right. I mean, other than James McCann getting hit in the head yesterday, but it's just been bad, and you know it's bad when the Mets are coming in and hitting bombs off of you.
In the air, right field. Garcia's back at the track and the wall, and it is gone. Jeff McNeil takes it up and out, and the Mets have retaken the lead.
That was Jeff McNeil's two-run homer to make it 4-2. Michael Conforto made it 5-2.
In the majors just yet, leads to this. Conforto deep into the Chicago night and onto the concourse.
And the White Sox lose. What are they now, 4-15 since the All-Star break? The good thing is that Tim Anderson is back, so that's kind of exciting. I wanted to put the Brewers in here, too, inside the rundown, because you need to keep an eye on them as well. They're right in the middle of this race in the National League Central with the Cardinals and the Cubs. And Eric Thames, the big man, was doing big things for the Brewers late.
Here's a 1-2. Thames with a fly ball, hit back into deep right center field, and it is gone! We are tied! Eric Thames with a rocket! Over the right center field wall, we are tied at 2.
Yep, he gave him a fastball, he turned on it and tied her up.
It was a mammoth shot by a very strong man. Now you're thinking, well, Hader's going to be in the game, he's going to hold things down for the Brewers, give them an opportunity to win the game in the later innings. What you're not expecting is for a lefty to hit a walk-off against him.
Now lefty-lefty, here's Matt Olson, RBI double back in the third inning. And a fly ball hit back into center field. Lorenzo Cain going back at the wall. It is gone and it's over. Matt Olson with a walk-off in the 10th as the A's win it 3-2.
So the Brewers now fall two games back in the National League Central. We'll get to who they're back of by two games in a minute. Meanwhile, in the National League Central, there was drama and smoke. And all the smoke from Amir Garrett, because you know why? Because the Pirates can't keep throwing at people's heads.
And Garrett is hot. And now there's some serious chirping coming from the Pirates dugout. And now Garrett's on his way to the dugout, and here we go. Oh! Garrett goes in there punching. This is not a good scene at all. You could feel it brewing and brewing and brewing. David Bell, who had already been ejected from this game, out of the dugout, trying to get to Clint Hurdle. And they got to separate these two teams somehow, because this is not going to stop.
A Sonny Gray survived right here, and everybody just needs to take a deep breath and back off.
You know what? I'm real tired of the Pirates. I'm real tired of it. Going all the way back to last year when Clint Hurdle had those things that he wanted to say about Javier Baez and Wilson Contreras and them not respecting the game. He is apparently the new sheriff of baseball. So now he's not only got thoughts on everyone's players, he also is continuing to tell his guys to not just pitch inside, to not just hit guys, but to go up and in. And you know what? The Reds have had enough of it. I know I've had enough of it. It's so much so that there's a whole episode of my podcast about that that's going to be later on today. I'm tired of Clint Hurdle and his nonsense, and I'm glad that his boys got some smoke for it. If you're going to be about that life, then don't be surprised when someone is going to walk over to your dugout and start swinging on people. Did you see the video of this, Tony?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. If you haven't seen the video of the fight is great. It's for a baseball fight, the fight is great. But I want you to look at it and realize that this happened. The fight's going on. Amir Garrett runs over there. David Bell, who's the manager of the Reds, who had been ejected 20 minutes earlier, he runs over there. Yasiel Puig's ready to fight everybody. Joey Votto wants to fight everybody. While this is going on, a police officer literally turns his back to the fight to make sure that no one from the crowd joins into the fracas. It is the most mesmerizing juxtaposition of real life versus baseball life. Because in real life, is the police officer just going to be like, oh, I got to protect these guys who are fighting? Or is he going to try and break up the fight or arrest the people that are involved in a mass assault? It is, go watch it. Like, while you're listening to the show, if you have the capability, watch the fight and watch as the police officer literally turns his back to the fight that is going on behind him. It is amazing. All right, now we'll get to what is probably going to be a major subject on today's show, and that is your Chicago Cubs. Early on, Cubs got themselves a lead.
Baez lines one shallow left field, coming in. That's a base hit. Coming in to score is Jason Hayward. Line drive, base hit by Javier Baez to left. O'Neill came racing in. He wanted to try to make a diving play, but it was just too far in front of him. A sinking soft line drive to left by Baez drives in the game's first run.
Good pitching on both sides. Waino was doing well. Darvish was doing well. Until he lost back-to-back wild pitches.
Infield back. And this pitch way inside. Martinez is going to try to score, and he will. A wild pitch behind the batter, Wong. Martinez scores the tying run, and Goldschmidt goes to third. That pitch was 3 feet away from its intended target. Amazing.
Yeah, that wasn't good. And then Paul Goldschmidt, who's kind of going through a hot spell over the last few weeks, he did the Paul Goldschmidt thing.
And the 1-1 to Goldschmidt. Swung on, hit in the air, deep left field, treble. Back is Schwarber to the wall, home run. And it is now a 2-1 St. Louis lead. Goldschmidt now has homered in 7 of his last 8 games.
Yeah, Goldschmidt's real good. After having a kind of a lull in the middle of the season, he started to perk back up, and that's great news if you're the Cardinals or a Cardinals fan. Chris Bryant had some opportunities late in the game. He had a one-pitch at bat. It's the type of stuff that Joe Maddon has been talking about for a really long time, and we need to start really looking at it being on the players as much as it is on the manager, and the game ended this way.
Hayward bounces one slowly to second base. Wong throws him out, and the Cardinals win game one. The ball game is over. St. Louis wins it.
They do win it 2-1, and it was one of those games that Joe Maddon is frustrated that got away.
That is kind of like where we're stuck. We got to get beyond that. Got to keep putting them out there, but we got to drive them in also. We got the one with Javi. And then they intentionally walk him. Next time, Caratini draws a nice walk by just not expanding. And then Schwarbs has good at bat and flies out to left. So that's fine. But overall, we have to be more offensive and take advantage of our opportunities.
Yeah, and the at-bats that Joe has been talking about and wishing that the Cubs hitters would understand situation, and maybe you don't go first ball, fastball hunting in that particular situation. It's frustrating. Last night's loss is really, really frustrating, and we are going to spend a bulk of time talking about the Cubs and what's going on with them. By the way, the White Sox traded Nate Jones, which is weird because he's out for the season. And they got some pitching prospects back. We will keep our eyes open and our ears open to see if anything more significant happens with the Cubs or the White Sox as the trade deadline hits us at 3 p.m. local time today. So a little under 3 hours if they want to get some stuff done. I do wonder if the Tony Kemp thing is a we're done with Addison Russell. Because couldn't Tony Kemp take over the role inside the organization that Addison Russell has without all the Addison Russell stuff? Or Tony Kemp could be part of a deal that's now going to happen, and maybe he shouldn't get used to being a Chicago Cub. I guess he adds a little bit of speed. Can't steal first, not in this league. But if you're looking to pinch run, and the Cubs have been talking about how they would like to maybe try and manufacture a little bit more with some speed, Joe has said it on this show, maybe that's what you're doing, but we shall see. Here's what I wanted to ask you. Hey, Ozzy. Ozzy Guillen just walked across my studio and just pulled his shirt up because that's Ozzy. He's going, okay, so let me tell you what my vantage point is so that you know. We have our culinary studio where the Scores, like, interim studios are. And across the hallway is our performance studio where there's a band called Spoon. They are performing right now live. So if someone were to open up the door, you would be able to hear more closely, like, what they're doing. I don't know why Ozzy's here, but Ozzy just walked by, and now he should just come in here and hang out with me.
What if he's a giant Spoon fan?
I don't know if he's a giant Spoon fan. Just open the door. Just come in here. Ozzy, you're always welcome. You can just come and hang out. What are you doing here?
What?
Good to see you, man.
See you, bro.
Hey, what's up, baby? Good to see you. Thank you very much. These are the weird things that happen. I'm not going to keep you forever. I just wanted to say, hey, that's all. Hello, Ozzy.
Hey, buddy. How you doing? Long time.
I know.
How you been?
How's your granddaughter?
It can be more beautiful than that. I think one of the best things ever happened to the Guillen family was her. We're very excited. And, keep me busy. That's the one thing about it. Keep me very busy. And I never thought be a grandpa, it's going to be that awesome. You know what I mean? My wife raised three devils. And the other song have the little girl in the family. It has been very good.
It seems like that's your baby. Like, when I see you on Instagram, like, you and her are just, like, hanging out.
Well, you know, it's funny because a lot of people say I should open Instagram just for her. But all the sun, you know what I mean? It's just like, I want to show people who I am. A lot of people out there see me with a uniform on and all the stuff with the good and bad thing. And all the sun, when you really, really into a baby, most of the time, I'm a family guy. And I'm going to spend a lot of time with my family. I love to be around my family. And just to be with her is fun. Well, she make me a lot of things. Oh, my God. She going to make me move out of downtown to go to the suburb because of her. And, you know, I mean, I just want to spend time with her because, be honest with you, I don't have enough time to, you know, with my kids.
Sure. Because you were traveling the world and playing baseball.
Well, I was making money for them. And I don't want to miss the opportunity to see my grandchild growing up, and I think that's a good one.
What was it like to see Harold Baines going to the Hall of Fame?
Oh, my God, awesome. You know what I mean? One of my best experiences I have is a baseball guy. First time I had been in Hall of Fame, and I think the experience he have, the White Sox did a tremendous job, put a party for him together, did a tremendous job to the people who was into it. I think, you know what I mean, Hall of Fame people was very great. If you a baseball fan, even you know how to be a baseball fan, I think you have to go there because it's a unique experience. You see people walking around. You know, I went out to see Strawberry, David Justice, Lou Piniella.